I am Aaron of the Sterling Clan. I am the youth pastor here. If you don't know me, that is who I am. And if you are not familiar with me and the fact that I am the youth pastor, I would like to have a personal invitation for any of you who have people who are in the 6th to 12th grade range that I don't know. I just want to let you know that we meet every Wednesday, not this Wednesday, you know, it's still Christmassy, but every Wednesday we meet right here in this sanctuary from 6:30 to 8:30, if you don't know that. I know we have a lot of newer families. Maybe you've been here for years and I still haven't come in contact with you yet. That's not my bad. But I did want to let you know that because that's what I am passionate about. I love hanging out with your kids, your teenagers, and it has been the joy of my life to do that. I enjoy this. This is fun. But that is what I get up in the morning to do other than be a father and husband, blah, blah. That goes without saying. But other than that, you know, that's that. So this morning, I want to start off. You can know me, I'm a little weird. But this morning, I want to start off with a one question. And my one question for today is, what is your biggest pet peeve? And I know, like, I walk through this life, I'm really opinionated. I have my own things, and me and my wife have a lot of things between each other, and I won't tell you what hers are because that's her business. But I'll tell you what hers are of me. I can tell you that because that's a me problem. But so some people, you know, they have a problem with, like, loud chewing, right? And so, like, one of my favorite things is I love caramel M&Ms, and she hates it when I eat my M&Ms because, you know, it's a crunch and then a chew, and so, like, it can be a little bit weird, and she's not for that. So I have to eat it on my own, like, when I'm in my... Nah, that's a different story. But, like, I'll be watching a show by myself, and then I can eat them there in peace. And maybe, you know, you're not like me. So, like, I'm the guy who loves Christmas music in July, and I know that some people are not like that. Some people would walk into the place in which I'm working. They'd hear the Christmas music in the middle of summer, and they would go, not today. Whatever I came in here to do, I don't want to do anymore. And so I understand that world, too. I do. Maybe it's people who do or don't follow the rules, whether we're talking about board games or, you know, the rules of the road. It doesn't matter. But people who just don't follow the rules, and I, as one, and the youth would tell you that I'm the one that goes, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But that's just a me problem. And I'm here to win, and I'm too competitive, and my wife will tell you that too. But all that to say, my personal biggest pet peeve on this earth is bad drivers. It just is. I can't deal with it. If you're in the wrong lane, if you're going too slow, like, I am that person. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and I can throw myself underneath all the buses. I can do that. I would say that I'm a really, really good driver. I would tell you that. Some would say that I'm not. Some would say I drive too fast. Some would say that I don't follow the rules of the road. I follow the rule of, yes, right on red, but sometimes left on red if no one's coming. You know what I mean? Like, so I feel like I'm good enough a driver to make that decision for myself. But then I got married, and my wife will tell you that I had to change the way that I drove, A, because she's in the car, and B, because the kids are in the car. And so I had to let go of my professional driving career to be married and a father. So that all to say, that is why, and that is the foundation in which I'm going to tell you a story on how we got here today, talking about the things that I want to talk about today. So about a month ago, I also, if you don't know this about me, I love playing softball, slow pitch, old man softball. It's the one thing that you can still do when you get old. And you don't have to even be in shape if you can hit hard enough. But anyway, so I like to play softball. And so about a month ago, I was playing in a tournament down in Salisbury. And so we had a three games. We played our three games. We had a long break, and we got to 2:30. We played our last game, and we had to wait to see if we were going to play another game. Now, the director of the tournament says, hey, yeah, well, you're going to play right around 5 o'clock. And so, like, we're all just sitting around there. The one thing you need to also know about me is that I love playing softball, but more than that, I love to be home with my family. So that's always a, you know, that thing that, like, I'm struggling with. So in my brain, I know that our last game was over about 2 hours ago, and I'm up about 5 o'clock, and we're waiting to see who we're going to play. And so I'm already on the angst. I'm trying to get home, right? I want to play, but I also just want to get home. So right around 5 o'clock, the tournament director comes out there. It's getting dark. It's getting cold. And he goes, oh, hey, by the way, thank you for staying around for the last 2 hours, but you're going to play again tomorrow morning at 9:30. So I've just been there for 2 hours away from my family. I'm trying to get home, and now I'm not going to play till the morning, which is in and of itself is a little bit aggravating, and I'm a bit of an aggravated, frustrated type of person, but that's just the way it starts, right? So, okay, so I get in the car, and I call my wife, and I'm like, all right, I'm on my way. And we have a little joke. It goes something like this. I'm going to drive fast and take chances, but I'm not going to do that, right? Drive fast, take chances, I'm going to get home to be with you and the girls so I can get home for bedtime, right? Okay. So that's the foundation of that. So I come up to my first light, and for the record, I could have run it. It was yellow, plenty of time. I could have gotten through, but because I'm trying to be a good person, I'm trying to be a good pastor, I'm trying to follow the rules, you know what I mean? I slow down and I stop. Now, when I get to the light, it is red. But it was yellow, and I could have made it through, and I could have been home, and blah, blah, blah. And so I stop red, and I sit there. I'm like, okay, no big deal. So then I hit to the next light, right in Salisbury. And, you know, there's 1,000 right there in Salisbury, and I hit all of them red. And I go, Lord, I'm trying to get home to my family. I should have run that light. And so then I get outside of Salisbury, same thing. I get stopped behind a guy who actually does stop at a yellow light. And I'm like, no, no, not today, Satan, right? So like, these are the things that I'm going through my brain, right? And I'm like, okay. And the angst and the frustration is rising. And somewhere in the range of like between Salisbury and Laurel and Del Mar, like I'm stopping at every single light. And in fact, one time I stopped at a red light because I had to. And it turns green, and I'm at the front of the line, and now I'm the bad driver, and I'm at the front of the line, and it's green, and I'm just like, I'm so aggravated, I don't even go at the green light, because I'm so anxious, right? And so this is a story of where we are. So right around, let's say, Laurel, right? I look at the Lord, because I'm escalating, my blood pressure's already high, and I'm like, okay, what are we doing? And I look at the Lord, and I go, all right, Lord, what's up? Like, not that everything, I'm not the super spiritual, like everything is, no. Like, that's not who I am. But I do think that had I kept escalating, I would have either A, gotten into an accident, B, I would have run a light, I would have done something to try to equal out wherever I was in the story. And I said, God, what are we doing? And at that point, I knew I was going to preach today. And I said, how about this, God, I'm going to take a step off the wheel here, and I'm going to go, all right, God, what do you want to talk about today? And it's funny how this story leads into where we're going. I said, but God, I'm not okay. I'm really struggling. I struggle with anger in my life, right? So like, these are things that like, it starts escalating and I need to step off the gas. And I said, God, what do you want to talk about today? And he goes, hey, you see about 15, 20 minutes ago, you could have been home. But 15 or 20 minutes ago, you got stopped at a red light. And do you see how one quote-unquote bad decision or one quote-unquote circumstance derailed you so fast? And it got you out of your own brain and it got you thinking about all these other things. How about we talk about that? And so for the rest of the drive home, me and him talked about all the things that he wanted me to share this morning. And all the things that I struggle with in my daily life, I'm very circumstantial, right? I'm very in that way, like, God, if you do this, then I know you love me. Not so much now, especially in my younger Christian life. I mean, I work a trust factory, and I would go up and I would pick the exactly amount of plates. And I would be like, oh, Lord, you must be happy with me today because I put my hand in and I picked up the right amount, you know, dumb stuff like that. But that's just me. That's just me and the Lord. Like, we have that little relationship. But anyway, so I'm in there and I'm just like, so fast, I get derailed by one little thing that doesn't go my way. And in this case, it was many red lights in a row. But the cool thing about the Lord is that's what he's about. He doesn't care about the red lights. He cares about getting my attention and getting to the things that he wants to do. And thankfully, I had the wherewithal, because of my relationship with him, to stop in the middle of everything and go, all right, God, clearly this is something bigger maybe. Maybe it's not. But if it is, either way, I got to get off this ledge. And so he talked me through a lot of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. So let's do that. So the first thing that he was kind of telling me was, hey, don't let the past define you, right? How many of us walk through this life and we have a lot of tripwires, we have a lot of traumas, we have a lot of things that we would say describe us or make us ourselves, right? I got 1,000 of them. But how many in our lives, like, we go through this thing and that thing kind of defines us, and we put that on like a mantle, or we put that on like a describer of who we are, when God is the one who wants to tell us, this is who you are. That's not who you are. That thing that you went through, I'm better than that. I'm ready to redeem that. I'm ready to reconcile those things. Like, I want to take care of that and make it. He wants to take beauty out of those ashes. But sometimes we want to hold on to that thing because it's kind of a like an identifier of who we are. So how many times do we allow the past to define us? And how many times do we allow the past to get in the way of our today? So the theme for today is goodbye yesterday. I'm ready for today. So it says in Isaiah 43:19, it talks about how he is doing a new thing. Can you see it? Can you perceive it? Because you have to be looking for it. Matthew 5:8 says, the pure in heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So how do you see God, right? So you have to be pure in heart. But in order to see God, you have to be looking for him, right? And it's this idea that, like, your eyes need to be so fixed on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You have to be so fixed on Jesus that the past can't derail you. Those past hurts, they can't derail you. And all the things that life throws at you doesn't touch you because your eyes are so fixed on Jesus. Because that's who he is, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. You see, he died for you so that you can truly live, right? And not just live, but live free. Because Hebrews 12:1 says that, like, let us lay aside every weight, freedom. Let us lay aside all those weights and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, right? Let's not miss that. The race that's before us, not the race behind us. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is setting the race before us and wants us to run that race and sometimes even walk that race and sometimes just sit for a minute to make sure we're on the right path and make sure we're racing the right race, right? And he died for you, right? To get us freedom. And he also died to give us an abundant life, right? Not a boring life, not a life of regret, not a life of all that. It's an abundant life that it talks about in John 10:10, where it says that the thief only comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, he doesn't want us to just crawl through life gritting and baring our teeth, hoping that we make it through the day. Like, that's not the abundant life that he came and died for. He wants us to live free. He wants us to live with a mind of abundance, knowing, Lord, that he has so much that he wants you to achieve in this life. And so often we get in the way. We put ourselves in the way, and we put our past sins, our past things in the way of what he wants to do. We are the biggest derailer of our future because we don't want to get past the things that he wants us to just say, hey, no, man, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm ready to take that thing and make it just a part of your story, but something that catapults you to the next thing. Because if there's anything I understand in a world of youth ministry is these kids come with a lot of stories. And every time they come in and they'll be at the altar and they'll be praying. And I'm like, every time the Lord gives me the same exact word, man, he wants to take that thing and have it be a part of your story. And you can share that and how God was able to redeem that and how it is going to affect the ones around you. I've been in youth ministry for years. And the biggest moves of the Spirit, the biggest moves in our group have been when people testify of what they have been through and what God has done continuously in their life and who they are now. And then the next one comes along, me too. And then the next one comes along, yeah, I went through this. And there's a move that happens because we get out of our past and we walk into the future and we allow God to redeem those things that have derailed us for so long. Because what he's about is abundance and freedom. So the question is, who or what are we focused on this morning? And what is standing in the way of everything that God has for you and his abundant life that he died to give you? The verse that the Lord gave me on my way home from softball was Philippians 3. Verse 12 to 15, and I'm gonna read it out of the Amplified because I think it's really fun. I am an Amplified person. I think that's fun. I like all the interlocking things that they do and that. And sometimes I just wanna get to the point, but this is good. So it starts off in verse 12 and it says this, not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. I'm gonna go back and read that again because that's really, really good. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Oh, wait, can you go back one more? Sorry. Yeah. So that I may take hold of that thing for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. So I'm going after something that I need to take hold of, something that he took hold of for me and made me like him, right? And it's that Christ likeness, right? It's the idea, it's the striving towards perfection. And obviously you hear, and I'm gonna preemptively say this, as we read through this, look, he's not talking about being perfect. Because clearly over and over again, he's like, no, I haven't attained it. I haven't, I don't have that. I haven't completed this mission. I haven't completed the race. I haven't done everything, but I'm actively pressing on. I want to take hold of this, but I haven't quite yet. So it's about the path, not perfection necessarily. All right, we can move forward. So brothers and sisters, I do not consider, right, that I have made it my own, but one thing. You guys know, I love the one things of the Bible. The one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. And if in any respect you have a different attitude, that too God can make clear to you. So this idea is that number one, I have not obtained this goal that I am actively pressing on towards, right? But also I'm not just saying, all right, that's an unachievable goal. I'm just done. No, I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna be active in my pursuit moving forward. But I want to take hold of that thing that Jesus took hold of me for, or took hold of for me, and made me his own. This thing that God did for me and made me his own, I want to take hold of that thing that he died for. And it's to be like him. It's to be Christ-like. It's to strive to be better or more like him every day. It's sanctification if you're a big word person. But it's to be like him. And I haven't made it. But one thing, I'm the one thing. I love focusing on one thing. If there's one thing that you can tell me that thing. Forgetting what was behind. One thing. If one thing's important, it's this. Forgetting what's behind and reaching and actively pursuing what is ahead. And sometimes, like I said moments ago, it's sitting in his presence and waiting for him to show us what the next thing is, right? So it's not, it doesn't say to, you know, reaching aimlessly or actively running in circles. No, it's waiting for him to show us the way, allowing him to tell us where we're going. It's Moses as he's about to walk into the promised land saying, yeah, I want to go. But not if your presence doesn't go with me. Because if you're not with me, I don't want to go even into the promised land, right? A couple weeks ago when I preached about obedience, I talked about how I was waiting for my wife for a very long time, right? It's like me having the Lord preaching or saying something to me and saying, hey, look right over there. There she is. That's the one. And I look at the Lord and say, thanks for the promised land that you've given me, but I don't want to go over there unless your presence goes with me. That'd have been tough. That's all I wanted for a long, long time. But that's the idea. The promised land that he has in store for you is not enough unless his presence goes with you. And then it says in Exodus 33:17, the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. People, you need to hear me. There's nothing in my life that I take more for granted or more whatever, I always say that backwards, than knowing that he knows my name. He has things in store for me. The Bible says he counts the number of hairs on your head and mine are few and far between. But he knows that number and he cares that much, right? But he knows my name. And then Moses goes back to him and says, okay then, your presence is enough. Now, show me your glory. Because let's be honest, that's a thing that we can hold on to. Show me your glory. Because his presence isn't necessarily a feeling, right? It's a knowing. It's a seeing. It's seeing the ripples of where he's been. It's seeing the things that he's done in our lives over and over again. It's knowing that he's worthy of our praise. It's knowing that we've seen him do it before and he will do it again. It's seeing the ripples of where he's been. I'll be honest with you, a couple weeks ago, Justin preached a sermon about it's not feeling, it's believing, right? I'm a feeler. I'm an emotional person, right? And in that moment, I took offense because that's also something I'm really good at. I take offense. I'm like, what's this guy doing? I know he doesn't appreciate me because that's who I am. See, that's the enemy getting into my brain and derailing me, right? And I had to come back. But it's funny that weeks later, now I come back and I'm telling you all the same things. Because presence isn't a feeling, man. It's a knowing. It's a believing. His presence wasn't enough to walk him into the presence, to promised land. It was. That's what he wanted. But then he goes, no, now show me your glory. Because your presence is enough. But who said, you know, the hungry are the ones, right? So they're hungering for more. Thank you for your presence. Now I'm gonna hunger for a little bit more. Show me your glory. And so he's walking down this path and like he shows him his backside, like, okay, this is kind of, You know what I mean? Like, that's a little weird, but whatever. But that's what you're allowed to see. That's what he gives him. But to me, I think it's funny. Yes, it's the backside, but it's like, no, no, no. You can see where he's been. You can follow him from the backside. You can see what he's about to do and then walk with him. And I think that's what he was trying to tell me that day and every day. Just follow me. Don't get ahead. Don't be reaching aimlessly for nothing. Don't be actively running in circles just to be active. Oh God, I did all these things. Good. He didn't ask you to do that. He asked you to be Aaron. He asked you to walk this path, right? And so to move backwards a little bit, so Philippians 3:14, it says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. The upward call, right? And I think the thing that the Lord shared with me this morning was the idea that he is that prize. You can call it his presence. You can call it his glory. You can call it knowing him. But he is the prize. He is the goal. And he is the thing that we are striving after. And it says that we should all have this same attitude that is in Christ Jesus. And if you don't, verse 15 says that God will make it clear to you. So this morning, God wants to make this very clear. Where is your focus? Where is your attitude? Are you reaching for him? Are you trying to be more like him? Or, watch this, are you so focused on him that you don't even see the raging storm all around you? Are you so focused on him that you don't even realize when you're in your middle of the storm? Because his presence is all I need, right? I would love to tell you that as I drove home, as the Lord was speaking to me, that from then on, as soon as I gave it over to him, as soon as I gave over my anger that I struggle with so much, that all the lights turned green. Nope. Salisbury to Harrington, I hit every red light there was. And some that weren't, I guess. But I hit every red light. But the thing that he told me as I drew into my driveway was, hey, Aaron, buddy, number one, nice job. But number two, it's not about the red lights. It's about my presence. Because my presence is the only thing that matters. Halfway of the trip, I was angry. I was frustrated. I was struggling. God, why am I struggling with this? I'm trying to get home. And he said, hey, my presence is all you need. And so for the rest of the trip, it was a battle of two polar opposites, right? I'm angry, and then 2 seconds later, I'm like, all right, God, what do you got? Because I'm freaking out, right? And he's showing me the way. And he's showing me what we're gonna talk about this morning. And he's teaching me about saying goodbye to the things that I've struggled with my whole life. He's teaching me about how I can move forward. And it's not about yesterday. And although I am the guy who will tell you over and over again, it's about remembering what he's done in the past, because that's what he's gonna do again, right? I love talking about that. It's remembering who he is, remembering what he's done. Because he's never ending, he's never changing. And he's gonna do it again, right? Maybe not in the same way, but he's gonna do it again. And that's a big one. But at the same time, is forgetting what lies behind and the sins that so easily entangle, because the verse says that they're clinging, right? They're real clingy. Putting those things behind and straining forward, actively pursuing the things that he has for us moving forward. So this is a fun thing. About 2 or 3 weeks before I even knew what we were talking about this morning, it was a Saturday, early Saturday morning. I was sleeping, because it was early Saturday morning. I was sleeping and I woke up. Maybe I had to pee, doesn't matter. But I woke up. And normally what I do is I'll even close my eyes so I don't wake up. I'll just go to the bathroom and then come back, right? Sorry, that's me. You're gonna get all of my stories, but that's who I am, right? I just wanna go and I just wanna come back and go to sleep because I don't sleep that much and I'm gonna go to sleep. Man, I'll tell you what, I was wide awake. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what are we doing? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to go back to bed. Wide awake. And so I say, all right, God, what do you want to do? He said, all right, get out your phone. I said, okay. So I wrote down some things that I felt like I didn't know I was going to preach today. At that point, I wasn't sure of the schedule and stuff. But every year I love getting up at this time of the year and talk about the things that I feel like God wants me to be about in 2026. And I feel like he wanted me to share that with you, so I'm going to. But anyway, this thing that he shared with me, I want to share with you. He said, I'm making all things new. The things that you thought were lost, anointings you thought passed you by or were in the past, they're not. Things you thought that you messed up irrevocably, he will redeem. But will you do what he asks? Will you commit your life to him? Will you make him Lord over your life? If so, he's willing and able today to walk you into the promised land that you thought you would never see. He says you've been walking aimlessly through the desert for long enough, and it won't be easy. And you may encounter Jericho walls trying to make you give up, and armies that are on all sides trying to dissuade you from what God has for you. But he's there to walk you through every fire and show you the path to go. The question is it worth it? Is he worth it? Have you done it your way long enough? Are you willing to step out of the boat and do the impossible? It's walking with Jesus on the water, knowing that he's there to catch you if you lose focus and start to sink. But will you still go after him? Because your promised land is waiting. It waits if you're ready. So the invitation this morning is really simple. If you've never chosen to follow Jesus and you've done it your way long enough, in a moment, I'm gonna pray and you can pray with me. If you've walked away and you just want him to accept you back this morning, and you've done it your way long enough, right? And you've been in the pig pen and you just want him to accept you back and want to be his son or his daughter again. In a moment, I'm gonna pray and you can pray with me. And if you feel like you're in the desert and you're all alone and you feel lost and lonely and you need Jesus to show up and show you the way. If you're in the middle of the storm and you're screaming, Lord, don't you care that I'm dying? My invitation is simple. Come, pour your heart out as we worship. But first, we're gonna pray. And if you want to say goodbye to the past and actively pursue Jesus and all that he has for you as we walk into 2026, I want you to pray with me and then I'm going to invite you to come worship. So you guys can stand. The worship team's going to come. I'm going to pray. I want you to know that the words of these prayers, they're not magical, right? Because the Lord isn't about words. He's about your heart. So however you pray, however you accept Jesus, however you talk to him, he sees and hears your heart. So Lord, this morning I thank you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for the path that you have each one of us on. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would allow us to say goodbye to our yesterdays. Say goodbye to the sins of the past. Say goodbye to the things that have tripped us up for far too long. And say hello to who you are today. And say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to do. But Lord, this morning, for those that have never chosen you, pray something like this. Lord, you're all I need. Lord, I've done it my way long enough. Lord, I accept you. And I ask you to make me whole and make me new. Because I don't want to be like that anymore. God, I need you. You're all I want. You're all I need. Show me your glory. And if you just want him back, and if you just want to have something, you remember the thing that you had at first. Lord, again, I've done it my way long enough. Lord, I want to be called your son. I want to be called your daughter. I want you to accept me back. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry for the ways that I turned my back on you. But God, thank you for waiting for me. And the second that I turned around, you were right there waiting to accept me back home. And so, Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, that walk through these storms and these things every day, and we're striving to be more like you, we're striving to know who you are. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we sing these songs, this last song, Goodbye Yesterday, Lord, that we can move into the future. We can move into 2026 and say, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the past isn't going to hold me down anymore. God, I don't know the storms that are ahead, but I thank you, Lord, that you walk me through the storms of the past and you're going to do it again. So God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this morning and what you're going to do as we move forward into this next year. And Lord, we just give it to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to worship. My invitation to you is simple. Worship is our weapon against the things that the enemy's doing to trip us up. So if you've accepted Jesus this morning, or you've rededicated your life this morning, or if you're walking through the fires, or you're in the biggest of days and you can't wait for the next things, my invitation is come to the front. My daughters, we're going to be here. I think I talked too fast. But come to the front and we're just going to worship together and we're going to say goodbye to yesterday. I understand. It's walking out of that cool place. It's so comfy back there. But I invite you to take a step forward in faith and say, God, I'm going to let go of the past and move forward, and I'm going to praise my face off. Thank you. Love you.